I'm glad we serve a God that's alive, and that He hears our prayers. I'm glad we have a Word that's alive, and that we can dig into it tonight. Very familiar passage, and if you ever hear me preach, whenever we get to a familiar passage, we got to slow down, because a lot of times we just fly right through it. I don't know about you. When I'm reading my Bible through each day, I get to a passage like this and I got to slow myself down because I'm going 60 mile an hour right through it, because I've read it, I've seen it, I've looked at it, I've heard it preached so many times. Let's slow down and see if we can see what God has for us tonight. But Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I," this is Isaiah speaking, "woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here I am, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." We're going to stop right there. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for allowing us to come in tonight. Lord, we thank You for this house, for everyone that's come in tonight. Lord, I ask that You would use me. Fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, that You would touch each heart that's here. Lord, whatever the situation, whatever the need. Lord, that You would use this Word, that it would challenge us, it would encourage us, and help us to focus on You. Help us to draw closer to You. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen.
So at this time, the nations of Israel and Judah, they had both enjoyed peace and prosperity for about 60 years. Jeroboam was the king of Israel and Uzziah was the king of Judah. And the problem is, just like I think we see here today in the United States, when you have peace, when you've got material blessings, when you've got all of these things, instead of us drawing us closer to God, instead of us being satisfied with God, unfortunately, it brings complacency a lot of times. What happens is they start to feel that maybe it's the blessing that's helping them. Maybe it's their own work. Maybe it's their own, this is what we see today, isn't it? We see where God is blessing us, and when there's peace and different things, we sort of step back and we don't go to Him as much as we do when there's an enemy right at our doorstep. When we're in a trial or a valley, then we're hanging on to God and crying out to Him. Oh, but in times of peace, as they were in, they started straying away from God. They engaged in different things. They replaced God with idols. They were committing adultery on God, and they were forgetting that it was this God who had blessed them. You know, we can forget the same today. And you know another thing, he's speaking to Judah. And Judah could look at the nation of Israel and say, you know what? At least we're not as bad as they are, right? They're worse than we are. You know, we're a little more godly over here. And that's another problem. You compare yourself to somebody else, you'll get in trouble. If you want to compare yourself and how close you are to God, I suggest you start right here. And if you want a living example, we've got one right here. That's Jesus Christ. So that's the example we have. So they're thinking, well, we're okay because we're not as bad as our godless neighbors up to the north. But in all of this, you can start to see what's going on here. And then in the first verse of this chapter, we see seven words that I think are very important. It said, "In the year that King Uzziah died," this thing happened, and then Isaiah the prophet sees the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. We know Uzziah became king at 16 years old. And the Bible in 2 Chronicles 23 talks different things about him. It said, "And he that did which was right in the sight of the Lord." That sounds good. It said, "He sought God in another spot. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." I like that. Then it said, "God helped him against his enemies." All good reports we're getting out of him. Till we get to 2 Chronicles 26, 16. I want you to listen to this. "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense." He tried to take the role of a priest, and he marched in there with his censer and said, "I'm going to offer up incense to God. I'm going to do it, even though I'm a king and I'm not supposed to. I'm not in the right lineage. I'm going to do it." And if you know the story, the priests, they tried to stop him. Everyone tried to keep him from doing that. And the Bible said that he was wroth. In the instant that he was wroth, he became leprous. And they kicked him out of the temple, and they banished him from the palace, and he was that way for the rest of his life. But we see a picture in Uzziah of what Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And you know what? A lot of people look at this familiar passage in Isaiah 6, and they say, "Well, this is the beginning of Isaiah's ministry. This was his calling to be a prophet." No, we're in chapter 6. If you read chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, Isaiah prophesies. He has visions. He tells the people what's going on. He tells them they're doing wrong and they need to get right. He goes through all of these things, talks about the judgment of God. He's already doing it for 5 chapters. And just in case you think the chronological order is out of whack, which some people argue, there's a couple of them that said while Uzziah was alive, he made these prophecies and he made these visions. So you don't have to be that smart to realize it happened before chapter 6. So he's already a prophet by the time he gets to chapter 6. Well, then they're thinking, well, that's strange because it looks like he's getting called right here. And you know, I thought of that. If he's going along, he's already a great prophet. And you know, we've got some examples. Isaiah 1:18. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, that your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool." And in Isaiah 5:22, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." He's already said good things. You know, but Isaiah was under, remember, a good king. There was good reports about King Uzziah, until that one day when pride got him, and he was banished, and all those things. And I believe that the beginning of chapter 6, those first words are telling us, giving us a little glimpse into Isaiah's life, that when Uzziah fell in pride and became leprous, I believe it hurt Isaiah's ministry. I believe that he was stuck on Uzziah, and the fact that a good man like that, a leader of Judah, would fall like that and be banished and everything, I think it got in his mind. And you know what? This has happened with different people. If you focus on a man, I don't want you to focus on me. I don't want you to focus on Jimmy, because we will let you down. Your pastor will let you down. Your parents will let everybody. If you watch them enough, if you listen to what we say long enough, we're not perfect people. We are going to let you down. And if you focus on me and I let you down, then you're going to say, you know what? I don't know if I can serve God anymore. I believe that we have a version of this right here. He just got so focused on King Uzziah. And you know, a while back, however, I've lost track of how many years ago, you know, I had a version of this in my life. Brad Duncan was my pastor for 16 years. And then one Sunday he got up here and said, "God has called me to Arkansas." And I was crushed. And I was trying to think in my mind, all right, what am I going to do? Am I going to go to a different church? Am I going to follow him down there? And I'm trying to reason out all of these things and rationalize all of that stuff. But I could never find peace with God about it. Every time I would pray to him, I knew it wasn't what I needed to do. But I was so frustrated. I said, "God, I don't understand why you would do this. Why would you take him away like that?" And not too much later, I answered the call to preach.
Yeah.
I don't think it was anything Brad was doing wrong. I think I was hanging on him. And God said, I'm going to move him and allow him to grow and allow you to grow.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm at now. If you focus on a man, it'll get you into trouble.
Yeah.
But you know what? Even if someone has done you wrong in the past, you can't use that as an excuse. The world does. When you go witnessing, a lot of people say, well, this church did me wrong. This pastor did me wrong. But I'm telling you, it's not an excuse.
That's right.
God has never done you wrong. He's never done anything against us. And you know, the problem is, when you have these things, it gets in the way. Because as soon as Uzziah was out of the way, what do we see in verse 1? I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So once Uzziah was out of the picture, he finally sees God for who he really is. And that train, or that hem of the garment, the bottom of the garment, filled the temple, it said. And I believe that's a picture of it, just like when the Holy Spirit fills a place like this and fills your heart. And that's what we need today. We need a move of the Holy Spirit if we need anything to get done. We can schedule a revival, we can bring in fancy preachers, but without the Holy Spirit, it's all in vain. We might be able to drag in a crowd, but we can't change anybody with that. Even with nice words, and even if I practice my sermon a million times, it won't do any good unless the Holy Spirit touches our heart. Right? That's what we need. And it got in the way with Isaiah. Great prophet got in the way. It can get in the way in our life too. Things can get in the way. You know, I began to wonder, what would it take? And I began to think about this. What needs to die out in our life? Just like Uzziah needed to die.
Yeah.
Remember, the Old Testament has a lot of physical pictures of things that are spiritual truths today. What needs to die out and get out of the way in order for you to see God for who He really is? Because
yeah.
A lot of times, things in the way, it'll hinder you. And I like when he sees up there, verse 3, it says, holy, holy, holy. I like that. I like it because, you know, some people say that the Trinity is something we made up and it's man-made. And I'll say, well, I wonder why they said holy three times. I think they said one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. Exactly three times, because there's three that are one. But you realize he doesn't say omnipotent, 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 or omniscient three times. He says holy three times. I think he's trying to get something across. What he saw, that picture that he saw, who he saw, was a holy God. And the one who hates sin. The one who can't dwell together with sin. The one that will judge sin. And in the beginning, he will separate those that live in sin. And I believe sometimes the problem is we forget that we serve a holy God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. But he's also a righteous God. He's also a holy God. You got to take it all together. Bring it all together. You can't take one part out. You can't emphasize one. You got to put them all together. And because he is a holy God, this the church that he has set up needs to be a holy place as well. And you know, sometimes we try bringing in so much of the world that we're just no good to heaven anymore. And I'm here to tell you, you can do that in your life as well. The problem is we need to focus on who God is and what he wants. You know, 1 John says something rough in 2:15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ouch. Right? Tell you, we need to get closer. So the first thing is he sees God high and lifted up. Then he sees himself. In verse 5, he said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So first, he was looking upward And then it caused him to look inward after that. He looked at himself and who he was. And first he saw that I'm undone. I'm incomplete. I'm missing something here. And then after that, he says his lips are unclean. And I thought, man, he's a prophet. And he's saying my lips are unclean. He's a speaking, that's what he does for the Lord. But you know, James 1:26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. You know, we preached on the tongue before. I'm not preaching on it today, but we're reminded several times in the Bible of how destructive it is. But here's Isaiah confessing, I'm a sinner and I live among sinners and I'm unclean right now. But I like what he says. For mine eyes have seen the King. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, at this point, he knows who the right King is. It's not Uzziah. It's the Lord. So not only first he sees, he looks up, he sees God as holy, then he sees himself as unclean, and then he sees something else in verses 8 and 9. The Lord says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. And he said, go. Once Isaiah saw the Lord, once he confessed his uncleanness and the Lord cleansed and forgave him, then he saw the world as a mission field at that point to spread the word. Whom shall I send and whom will go for us? There's another Trinity freebie right there. Isaiah doesn't ponder it. He doesn't wait. He doesn't think about it or come up with excuses. He says immediately, here I am, send me. And then God says, go and tell. Don't worry about the unclean lips anymore. I've got a message for you. I've got something for you to do. You know, one of the verses we love, one of the verses I love to go to about just a power that we have as a Christian is Ephesians 3:20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, I love that. But sometimes we trail off as we get to the end. He says at the end of that verse, he says, according to the power that worketh in us. He's saying in that verse, the Holy Spirit's got the power for you, exceeding abundantly. But you got to do and you got to work. Without it, the power is useless. You can sit down on the pew with all kinds of power, all kinds of knowledge, all kinds of gifts and talents that God's given you, and it doesn't do anybody any good. Keeping it in these walls doesn't help anybody around you. He said, go and tell. Go and do. And he's saying the exact same thing to us. He's saying, listen, once you realize who I really am, and then once you realize who you really are, and once you get that taken care of, you'll be able to go out here and do what you need to do. He was already a prophet. But God's now telling him to go. I've touched your lips. I've taken care of you. Go and work. But you know, the last thing I want to look at, it's the order. It's the order, right? That vision he had is in a certain order. Remember, first he sees the Lord, then he sees himself, then he sees the world. Do you realize sometimes we get that order mixed up, don't we?
Yeah.
We switch it up a little bit. See, sometimes we like to focus on the world and then focus on ourselves. We make it backwards. See, what happens, you focus on the world first, then focus on yourself. You'll justify yourself based on the world's standards, what culture thinks is okay, what society thinks is acceptable. We can't do that. And then you can't focus on yourself before you focus on the Lord, because then pride comes, right? And then you fall into the same trap that Uzziah did. Have you ever seen people do that? They focus on themselves. It's more my ministry, what I am doing for God. Look at what I do and how hard I work. I. They've got the I problem. And you don't hear anything about the Lord.
Yeah.
That's sad. Because if I go away, this work's going to continue. If I go away, the kingdom of God's going to continue, amen, with or without me. It was already going before I got here. It'll keep going after I'm gone.
Amen.
That's the best thing you can realize, is when that pride starts to well up. You know, you have a friend in the ministry if you're dealing with pride. The Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
That thorn in the flesh, remember it? He tells us why. He tells us in that passage, if you go look at it, he says it was because of pride. that the thorn is put there to keep me, to keep his pride down. If the Apostle Paul had to battle pride, then so will we from time to time.
Sure.
And I'm telling you, you put God first. You lower yourself. You serve. You give God the credit. You'll be all right. You'll be fine.
Amen.
Everything will be all right. But then, so we see all these things happening. So really, the question is, what takes priority? Does the Lord take the first spot? Or do you take the first spot? Or does the world take the first spot? Which one? Because without the problem getting out of the way, without Uzziah getting out of the way, with whatever you've got getting out of the way, you're never going to see the Lord for who He really is.
Right.
You know what I want tonight? I want us to pray that we see God clearer than we did yesterday.
Yeah.
That we draw closer to Him than we were before.
Amen.
I'm talking about for real. I'm not talking about because you've got a stats list or something. Well, I do this and I do that and I attend this and I give this and I do that. No, I'm talking about, well, we really take a step closer to God. And you know how we take a step closer to God? It's when you hear a message or when you're studying your Bible and the Holy Spirit stops you on something and it hurts, and then the excuses come, and then you try to act like you never read it or never heard it. See, that's not getting closer to God. That's just the easy way out. I'm talking about where you stop right there and say, God, that is a problem in my life. That is a shortcoming. And I need your help to deal with that because it's driving me crazy and it's keeping me from getting closer to you. And if you can keep taking those steps one at a time, you will look back and realize over time you've gotten closer to God. He can use you more. You can see Him better. And I love the fact where He says, you take one step, you draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
I think He takes a bigger step than I do.
Yeah.
When I take a little step, I think He comes a lot closer. Church, I want to get closer to God.
Amen.
I want to see Him clearer. Yeah, and you're saying, well, Mike, we can't see. Oh, we can see Him right here.
Yeah.
I want to see Him clearer in every page. I want to know in my life, no, without a shadow of a doubt, who's number one.
Yeah.
That means sometimes I got to decrease. And that means sometimes I got to tell the world, no thanks.
Yeah.
You know what we need? We need revival. I said it at the beginning. The only way we can do it. You realize the only one that spreads the gospel is you and I. He could have called. He could make a sound from heaven where everyone would hear it at the same time. He could make every TV show it at the same time. He could do all kinds of things. He's God. But He said, no, I want you to be the witness of me.
Yeah.
You know what the nice thing is? You don't need my story. I used to struggle when I was younger that my conversion, my testimony wasn't like an action movie like other people did. But you know what God told me? I don't want you to tell His testimony.
Yeah.
I want you to tell yours.
Amen.
What have you seen? What have you heard? What has He done for you?
Yeah.
And then that's it. Everything, I'll take care of the rest. You know what, church? We need to get closer to Him. We need to see Him for who He really is. And just like Uzziah, you may have something in the way today. You know what? You can come to Him and say, God, help me get that out of the way, whatever it is. Help me to move it out of the way so I can see straight to You. And what you want in my life. I'm telling you, church, nothing is so important that it can get in the way. Because the sad part is, you allow it to stay in the way long enough, He may move it for you.
That's right.
You may not want that. I ask everyone to stay. I want to see God. I want to see God fill this place. I want to see God fill our lives.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, fill us. You say, Mike, we all have the Holy Spirit. You're right. At salvation, we have the Holy Spirit. But I read in there where some people were filled. Not everybody. Barnabas was filled. Some of them were filled. I want to be filled. Don't you? Can you imagine more power from God? More help. And each and every day, that's what we need. As she gets ready to sing,
I don't know what part of the message may have touched you tonight. That's not my job. But if the Holy Spirit landed on something and said, that's you, you know it. The excuse comes, you know what it is. I challenge you. You can either come here or pray at your seat. If you want us to pray with you, that's fine. Whatever you need. I ask you to take care of it tonight. Let's all take a step closer to God tonight. We need it. Man, this world is getting more wicked every day.
That's right.
We need to be stronger than we were yesterday.
That's right.
That's right.